إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brothers and sisters, in the area of leadership development, we use a tool called the 360 degree appraisal. Now, I have been involved with this 360 degree appraisal in GE, in the corporate leadership development in Crotonville, from 1994 onwards. I helped design, and also after that we ran a series of workshops implementing this 360 degree appraisal, and then subsequent to that workshops in coaching people who are appraised in Asian Paints countrywide, and so on and so forth. Now, what this 360 degree appraisal is, it's very different from the regular annual performance appraisal which most organizations have. The annual performance appraisal is an appraisal of the employee by his manager. So the one you report to directly appraises your performance. Different variations of that. In some cases, the employee is asked to do a self-appraisal first, and then the manager looks at that and comments on it. In some cases, manager directly does the appraisal, and then there is a post-appraisal discussion with the employee where any gaps are filled. The 360 degree appraisal is not like that. The 360 degree appraisal is called a 360 degree appraisal because it's an appraisal of the individual by all his or her constituents which comprise that person's environment. So the way it is done, let me describe that a little bit. The way that is done is that it is done, first of all, by an outside agency. It's not done by the company. It's done by a completely third party who has no vested interest in you or anybody else. They prepare a set of questions on various aspects of your behavior, your personality, and so on. And these questions are given to you, and you are asked to send them to all those people who you interact with. So this will be, in an organizational perspective, this would be your superiors, they would be your subordinates, they would be your peers, they would be people inside the organization that you deal with, different departments. They would be people who are outside the organization, for example, your suppliers, your consultants, your customers. So they could be anybody, right around 360, including your family. You would send maybe to your wife or your husband, and so forth. So this would be right around. Whoever interacts with you as an individual in any way. So some people interact with you in a work context, some people interact with you in a social context, some people interact with you in some other context, whatever the context. Then these questions are answered. The answers are given directly to the agency who is doing the 360 degree appraisal. They then take these answers, they collate them, and then they give you a rating, two kinds of rating. One rating they give you as a direct raw rating as on the parameters that they are looking at. And secondly, they give you a comparative rating of people like you, your age group, your level of seniority in the organization, and so on. And they also share with you some of the comments which have come with the appraisal. All of this is done anonymously, so you don't know who commented what, but you see the comments and you see this rating. Now, the reason I am giving you all of this is because it is a very powerful tool, and this is a tool that is used widely in most organizations which are considered to be the state-of-the-art kind of organizations, cutting-edge organizations, which the world follows. GE is one of them, Motorola is another one, and so on and so on. Now, relate that to Islam and relate that to the Seerah. I quote from here one of the quotes of Umar ibn al-Khattab radhiyallahu anhu. He said, "Richness is not found in wealth, as wealth can diminish, nor is it found in beauty, for beauty fades with age. It is found in good character and kind hearts. So treat people in such a way and live amongst them in such a manner that when you die, they make dua for you. And when you are alive, they benefit from you and they thank Allah the Most High for having you in their life. Let me repeat that. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, richness is not found in wealth, as wealth can diminish, nor is it found in beauty, for beauty fades with age. It is found in good character and kind hearts. So treat people in such a way and live amongst them in such a manner that when you die, they make dua for you, and when you are alive, they benefit from you and they thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for having you in their life. Now my question to myself is, am I like that? And that is the thought that I want to leave with you, to ask yourself this question. And the reason I mentioned the 360 degree appraisal is, one way to find this out is to check with people who interact with you. Get some feedback, direct or indirect, straight or whichever way. Think and reflect, sit and introspect and say, how am I with the people who are in my sphere of influence? It's not a matter of popularity or anything like this. This is actually what Rasulullah ﷺ told us. There are many, many hadiths on this basis. For example, somebody came and said, Ya Rasulullah, how do I know if I am a good person? Nabi ﷺ said, ask your wife. In another case, he said, if your neighbor says you are a good person, you are a good person. This is a 360 degree appraisal. This is what he is saying. Ask your constituents. How do I know I am good? Ask somebody you are dealing with. If they are saying that you are good, then you are good. Goes without saying that this is feedback which must come spontaneously, which must come honestly. Not a question of somebody trying to be nice to you because they expect something from you. But the issue is this, which is, and many hadiths to this effect, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a person was kind to an animal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them. A person was kind to his debtors and forgave them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave this person. Many ahadiths like this which talk about our behavior with other people. Famous hadith of Rasulullah where he said that your iman is not complete until you want for your brother what you want for yourself. Okay. I think there are so many of them, so I don't have to quote all of them here. But the point being that therefore, taking stock of ourselves, reflecting on our own behavior, reflecting on our own, on how we interact with people, on the effect we have, this is a very, very important part of number one, personal development as far as this world is concerned, and as a means of attaining the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we meet Him Jalla Jalalu. The famous hadith of the people who, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, these are the people who are destitute. He asked the sahaba, who are the people who are destitute? They said, Ya Rasulullah, the destitute people are those who are so poor that they have no dirham or dinar, they have no money, and so they are destitute. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. The destitute people are those who will come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment with good deeds the size of the mountain of Uhud. But there will be people, line of people there waiting for them, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for justice against this person. Because this person would have harmed them in one way or the other, would have slandered them, backbitten them, oppressed them, beaten them, cursed them, would have taken their rights, would have stolen things from them, and so on, and so on, and so on. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, until that entire mountain of good deeds will be finished. Because on the day of judgment, the currency is deeds. There is no other currency, there is no gold and silver. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to these people, well, you had these issues, and so, this is what the person did for you, did to you in this dunya. So now, take from his deeds as recompense. So this will be given until the mountain of deeds is over. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, but the line of people will not be over. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, and of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, but this is a rhetorical question, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, his deeds are finished. Now what do you want me to do? They will say, Ya Rabbal Alameen, give my bad deeds to him. As a recompense for what he did, give my bad deeds to this person. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and that will be done. And he said, a man who came before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a woman who came before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with good deeds, the size of the mountain of Uhud, will go into Jahannam with somebody else's bad deeds. So what does this tell us? Same 360. Assess yourself before you go and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Settle accounts right here. Don't take something with you. Whatever is the account, finish it here, because it is cheaper. There it is very expensive. Final hadith to end this, which we know, where Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned three times on three different days, three different occasions, about the same sahabi, where he said a man will enter this place. He was sitting in Masjid Nabawi. He said a man will enter here who is from the people of Jannah. And the same sahabi entered three times when Nabi ﷺ said this. So Abdullah bin Awar radiallahu anhuma decided to go and check this out. He said, what is it that he is doing? And the sahabi was Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma went to him and he said, I want to stay with you as your guest. He said, most welcome, please come. He stayed with him for 3 days. And at the end of 3 days, he said, this is the reason I came to stay with you, because Rasulullah made this basharat about you. But I did not see anything special. I thought maybe there is some special amal that you are doing or something. He said, I did not see anything special. So what is it you do that I was not able to see? Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu said, he said, Allahu alam, but maybe this is because of something that I do which you could not have seen. So he said, what is that? He said, I settle all my accounts before I go to sleep. He said, if I have done anything in the day where I need to apologize to somebody or give back somebody, if I have taken something wrongly from them, I finish it before I go to bed. And he said, I forgive everybody who has done anything wrong to me before I go to bed. So both ways. If I need to seek forgiveness, I seek forgiveness. If I need to forgive somebody, I forgive them whether they have asked for forgiveness or not. Today we carry grudges. Yeah? Somebody does something, somebody says one thing to you. Not that the person killed you or he, you know, stole your property or he assassinated, tried to assassinate, nothing. Maybe he offended you by the way he spoke or, human beings are human beings. So somebody offended you or whatever happened. And then the person comes and apologizes to you, but still you will not forgive. You will carry this grudge in your heart. You will carry it for years and years and years. I know people who don't forgive. They do not forgive. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah will do for you what you do with people here. So if you don't want to forgive somebody, then this is what Allah will do for you when you go to meet him. All the forgiveness you seek will not work for you, because you have not forgiven somebody in this dunya who came to seek your forgiveness. Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu is a step ahead of that. He is saying, even if he does not ask forgiveness, I forgive them anyway. I don't want to carry this garbage with me. Why should I carry it? Somebody said something bad. Why should I carry it with me? I leave it. Forget it. Khalas. I have forgiven. If the person asks forgiveness, Alhamdulillah, I forgive you already. If he didn't ask also, doesn't matter. Forgive him. Ya Allah, I forgave him without him asking me. So you forgive me without me asking you. Khalas. This is the issue of taking stock of ourselves and doing this 360 for ourselves, which is so important in life, both in this life as well as with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to live lives which are beneficial for others, because that is the only way in which our life will become beneficial for us. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.